Are you into working out? Love being at the gym? Are you a fitness nut? Well, we've got a show for you. This is Grace in Focus, and I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Now, this isn't a workout show. We're currently taking questions from listeners just like you, and we had this very interesting question come in. Here it is. Do I have to give up working out to be saved? That's a great setup, and we're going to let Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar do the heavy lifting. All right, let's go right to them in discussion. This is Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're taking your questions. Here's a question from Larry. And he says, hi, I know faith in Christ in his finished work on the cross is the basis of one's salvation, no works included. But what about repentance? Without repentance, wouldn't we just have easy believism?
Wow.
All right, it's a good question, and we were discussing this before, and you would think the question is about repentance, but maybe there's a few other things we need to talk about.
Right. First of all, Larry says it's about faith in Christ and his finished work on the cross.
Cross, yeah.
Well, it is about that.
Yeah.
But that's not...
There's a key part that's missing.
There. Right. The key part he's missing is the promise of everlasting life.
So why does Jesus go to the cross? What does that make possible?
It makes it possible that we will have everlasting life. And the way we get it is by believing in him for that life.
Yeah.
1 Timothy 1:16, Paul says, I'm an example of those who are going to believe on Jesus for everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
John 3:16. Whoever believes in him won't perish, but has everlasting life.
Yeah.
All the way through the New Testament, you see that the one who believes has everlasting life. That's what we're believing in Jesus for. Now, the cross and the resurrection make that possible.
Right. That's
and
the,
that's
like
what
says,
gets us to believe the promise.
But, like he says this is the basis of our salvation.
So I agree that's the underlying basis, but
right.
What we need to believe
yeah.
is that by faith in Jesus, we're saved once and for all.
So that's more of just a clarification, right, of what Larry says.
Right, here. That's point one.
So let's just clarify that the salvation we get is eternal salvation. And he says no works included.
Now that's correct.
And that's correct.
But except then he says, what about repentance, which is a work?
So that's another issue, right? Some people would say it's just a change of mind, but it doesn't seem to be what he's saying here because he's contrasting repentance with easy believism. So
right.
I think he's saying repentance is something other than believing.
I think he's saying it's turning from sins,
right.
even though he
Probably.
Doesn't come right out.
Uh-huh.
And so that is a work. To turn from sins is to clean up your life.
Isn't it, though? I mean, I'm surprised by how many people say, we're not saved by works, but you got to repent. I'm like, what do you think repentance is? Isn't it a change of behavior? You're stopped doing
right.
the bad thing and you're starting to do the right thing? I mean, you're working, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, you look at the Ninevites in the book of Jonah, and they turn from their wicked ways.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says in Matthew's gospel, I guess it's 12:41, that they repented at the preaching of Jonah.
Right.
Greater than Jonah is here, and yet the nation of Israel didn't repent.
Right.
Well, he wasn't meaning they didn't believe in him, although that was true too.
Mm-hmm.
He meant they didn't turn from their wicked ways.
Right.
And so it's wrong to say that somehow repentance is a co-condition with faith. Because
right.
then it's not by faith alone, right?
Right. Then it's faith plus works. So, a point of clarification, because some people will say, they don't believe in repentance. No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying eternal salvation is by faith apart from any works, including
right.
repentance. But repentance does have a role. We're not knocking doing good works. We're not knocking repentance. We're saying, don't put that as a co-condition of faith for eternal salvation. You have to understand it as part of something else.
Right. In the Bible, repentance is the way in which you save your life. If you're on the path of death, you're on the path of destruction that the Old and New Testament speak of, especially Proverbs, it's the way of death.
Yeah.
The way to escape that path is to repent.
Right.
And you see that, for example, in Luke 15 with three parables.
Right.
You've got the sheep, and then you've got the coin, and
right.
then you've got the lost son.
Right.
All three originally were part of the fold. All three originally were doing fine, and then they fell away, and then they're brought back.
Right.
They illustrate the believer who strays.
Right.
If they're away from God, repentance is the way to restore their life. That's what happened with the Ninevites, right?
Right.
They were going to die, and God suspended judgment because they repented.
Yes. I was just reading a book by someone you know. It's his biography, and he's talking about his son struggling with all kinds of drug addictions, and ultimately it did lead to the son's death. The son would have had to have repented of that drug addiction in order to literally not die. Repentance is to prevent that kind of thing.
Right, but in the case of the book you read, the author goes on to point out that his son is now with the Lord.
Because his son was a believer. He had come to faith.
Right.
You know? So the repentance wasn't a issue of eternal salvation. It was an issue of not dying from ODing from drugs or doing something else.
Right, and let's go to the third part of Larry's question. When he talks about, what does he say about easy believism?
Without repentance, wouldn't we have easy believism?
And the answer is yes.
Yes, we believe in easy believism.
Yeah, I don't normally call it that, and we don't normally call it that, but truthfully, it is believism.
Well, so what's
whether it's hard or easy.
Well, see, yeah, what's the alternative? Alternative is
worksism.
either worksism, either easy worksism or hard worksism. Usually, if you believe in work salvation, you tend towards easy worksism.
Right.
Even though the law required perfection, works where salvation people usually require a lot less than that. Or you're going to believe in something like hard believism. What would make it hard believism? I don't know.
Well, I think hard believism is it takes more than believing.
I guess so.
Or the other way.
Or maybe it's believism with like lots of emotion and believism with lots of, I'm not quite sure. But long story short, easy believism is the saving message, right?
And the other thing I like to say is for some people, believing may be easy. If you grew up in a Christian home, like your kids growing up in a Christian home, being taught by you and your wife, believing in Christ is going to be much easier for them than somebody who grows up in an atheist home.
That's right.
Or let's say they grow up in a Muslim home.
Sure.
Or they grow up in a Buddhist home.
Sure.
It's much harder for those people.
Right. Coming to the point of believing that you get everlasting salvation from a Jewish carpenter who lived 2,000 years ago, who was killed by the Romans and rose again from the dead, allegedly, as this book says. Not a lot of people are going to find that easy to believe at first.
Right. And here's the other reason why I don't think it's particularly easy to believe this. And I'll address this to Larry. Larry, if you think about it, how many people in Christianity believe, I'm talking about in Christianity now, how many of them believe that simply by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from repentance, apart from any works, simply by believing, they have everlasting life that can never be lost. And if they don't persevere, they still keep that life.
Yeah.
The moment they believe, they're secure forever. The percentage is extremely small.
Most people think you need to do religious stuff to be saved.
Right. I mean, I would guess, this is just a guess here, that within Christendom, maybe at most 10% of the people believe in believism, that it's simply by faith. Now, that doesn't mean that only 10% of people in Christianity are born again, because you only have to believe in Christ for everlasting life for a time. The moment you believe, you're secure forever. So even though most people don't believe it right this minute, they may have believed it in the past or they may believe it in the future. So we can't say what percentage of people within Christianity are born again or even outside Christianity, because sometimes people within Christianity fall away and go to some other religion. That doesn't absolutely prove they're not born again, because if they've ever been born again, they stay born again.
That's right.
In answer to his question, yes, it's by faith alone. Yes, it's apart from works. And yes, it's believism. Whether it's hard or easy, it is believism.
And if you want to know about the true role of repentance in the Christian life, well, there's Harmony with God by Zane Hodges. It's a short book, and it's kind of like the companion book to Turn and Live a little bit. They could read your book, Turn and Live, and maybe read those two things together, and you can get a better idea of what repentance is actually supposed to be about. Here's a question from Chad. I've been going through doubt and confusion. I worry about salvation. I heard this preacher one time say that a person has to forsake all and follow Christ, presumably to be saved. He was talking about the rich young ruler and how he wasn't willing to forsake his idols. So I started thinking about what could be an idol in my life. I enjoy lifting weights and staying fit. So I thought maybe God wants me to forsake that to be saved. A pastor told me that God was telling me to give it up so that I could be saved. I am willing and I have. But after studying and reading your blogs, it seems what he told me was wrong. Could you please give me your input? Chad, I think we can definitely say salvation is not by faith and avoiding going to the gym. Although, if that was the condition of salvation, I would definitely fit that. But Bob, you could be lost.
No, I'm hopefully doing a marathon in 2 days. And I walk.
Right.
But it'll be like 6 hours of walking.
Right.
Yes, I believe 1 Timothy 4:8, bodily discipline profits a little.
Right.
But godliness has profit for all things, both for this life and the life to come. There is some benefit in bodily exercise. And to say you've got to give up something good in order to be born again,
right,
is the height of work salvation.
Absolutely. Now, forsaking all for Christ and following him may be part of your discipleship. God might call you to be a missionary somewhere and you have to give up your house and your job and all that stuff. But that's not what you need to do to be born again.
Right. And even forsaking all doesn't mean giving up good things. It may mean that you give up doing it too much.
Right.
Let's say you like golf and you play golf 7 days a week for 4 or 5 hours a day,
right,
and that means you don't have any time for ministry, no time for your family. Well, that would be a bad thing, even though there's nothing wrong with golf.
Right.
Same thing with weightlifting. If this guy weightlifts 4 or 5 hours every day, that's pretty extreme.
Yeah.
Now he's going beyond health benefit. But if he's only lifting weights for a half hour, an hour a day, and he's got time in the schedule for it,
yeah,
I don't see how that's bad.
So give me a 30-second view of what the rich young ruler was about.
The rich young ruler wanted to know what he needed to do to inherit the kingdom, which I believe he understood to mean get in. The Lord challenges him with the second half of the Ten Commandments, and the rich young ruler says, I've done all this from my youth up. And then Jesus hits him with the 10th commandment.
Yeah.
He goes away sad because he's not willing to give away everything.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus isn't telling him he has to give up everything to be born again. What he was doing is showing the man that in order to be saved by the law, by works,
yeah,
you'd have to be perfect. And the young man went away, and hopefully he later came to faith.
Right.
But the issue is not salvation by selling everything. It's salvation by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we shouldn't be going to Matthew, Mark, and Luke to find our view of how a person is born again. We should be going to John's gospel for that. So read John 3:16.
Well, thank you for your question, Chad. And if you have questions for us, send them to radio@faithalone.org. And be sure to check out a copy of Bob's Turn and Live book or Zane Hodges' book, Harmony with God, for more thoughts on the role of repentance in the Christian life.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. I certainly hope everyone has a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to being back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.